Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be speaking from Psalm 139 with a message entitled, Lord, Do That Again. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please take your Bibles, and I will be reading from Psalm 139. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The superscription, the inscription at the beginning of this psalm, says that it is for the choir director, a psalm of David. We have made our way through the psalms, and numerous individuals have been highlighted as the authors or the ones who have penned these psalms. And we come, and this will be our concluding one of many, and it's good for us to come full circle and back to David and to what he has written for us from 3,000 years ago. But it is good for the soul to soak in this and to receive this blessing. I title this message, Lord, do it or do that again. Lord, do that again. You will notice at the outset of this psalm and at the end, there is a consistent theme. It begins, Lord, you have searched me and known me. Past tense. Lord, you know all about me. There is no history of my life or of anything else. There is no history that I can bring before you and that you would ever say, oh, I missed that. I forgot about that or I overlooked that. Not a bit. Not any little bit of it. Lord, you have searched me and known me. Then at the conclusion, verse 23, David, he says, search me. He's saying, Lord, do that again. What you have done so exceedingly well. Search me, O God. Now he's looking forward and he's anticipating God continuing to walk with him. Search me, O God, and know my heart, present and future. Know it. Search it. Let it be constantly on your radar and work what is pleasing in your sight. He says, search, know, try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me. See if I am veering from the course, if I'm off the path, that narrow path which leads to life, life abundant and life everlasting. But with these as the bookends, David looking back and David looking present and future, that God has known him and has searched him, and that God would continue that, that it wouldn't be just a point. It wouldn't be just a dot in his life. Well, that is where God searched me and knew me. But then we moved on from there, and I was on my own. Here we have it. David is saying, at every point of my being, at every point of my sojourn, I want you, Lord, to know me. I want you to search me thoroughly. I want to be an open book before you. I want to constantly be under your scrutiny. I want your eye to rest upon me. Now, even as I say that, there is a bit of a tremor in my own heart, and I suspect in your heart as well, that we naturally say, I'm not sure that that's such a good thing. There are some things that I would want the Lord to turn a blind eye to. I would not want him to go rooting around in all of the garbage of my life and to pull up something and to say, oh, look at this. David, he is speaking as a mature believer at this point. And he has come to the realization through the various things which he has experienced in his life, that it is best to be that open book, to not withhold or attempt to withhold anything from the Lord, but simply to say, Lord, here it is. You know me anyways. You search me anyways. And Lord, I want to be completely open to you. I want to lay it before you. And I want to receive of your mighty blessing. Consider with me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know. Here we're talking about God's omniscience, that he knows all. There is nothing which escapes his notice or that is a surprise to him. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately, it's not that he's just acquainted, you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Everything in David's life and your life and my life, it is all before the Lord. Now, David, he says, even before there is a word on my tongue. It's not simply that the Lord has fabulous vision or fabulous hearing. He sees into the hidden recesses of our thoughts. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful or too high for me. Too high, I cannot attain to it. It's incredible for us to consider how much God knows about us. We read that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. And for some of us, the number isn't very high. But God knows the number of each hair on each head of the 7 or so billion people that are on this planet. How can we comprehend such deep, intimate acquaintance and knowledge? And we say, in utter befuddlement, in utter amazement, that such kind of knowledge, such data that God has, there is no computer in the world that matches the data that God has on each and every one of us. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too high. I can't grasp it. I just can't get my arms around the knowledge that God has for each and every one of us. Now, not simply his omniscience, his knowledge that he knows all, but the omnipresence of God, the placement or the position of God in our lives. In verse 7, David writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, well, of course, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol in the depths, behold, you are there. You are everywhere." Jonah made such a radical mistake, thinking that he could flee from the presence of God. God had said to him, "Jonah, you are to go to Nineveh, that wicked city, and proclaim judgment to that city." And Jonah said, "I don't think so. Nineveh is that way, and I'm going in the opposite direction. I'm getting out of here, and I'm not interested in any more tasks that you have for me." But Jonah learned in those 4 short chapters of his prophecy that God was not one to be easily pushed aside, but that God was everywhere. He was in the depths. He was there with Jonah. And it was for that reason that in the belly of that great fish that Jonah offered up prayer, and God was able to make that fish spit Jonah out onto the land. And Jonah went on his way. Where can I go from your spirit? Heaven you're there. The depths in Sheol, you're there too. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. God is light, we read, and there is no darkness in Him. How do you drive out darkness? Do you get a broom? Do you get a vacuum? You light a single candle. And when God comes into a situation, when God comes on the scene, darkness must flee. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Now, David, he speaks of the work of God, not only in knowing David, but in having formed his servant, David. You formed my inward parts. Here we're talking 3,000 years ago into a time and a culture where they did not have the modern medical science that we enjoy. But David knew that God understood all of these things. And he is not simply saying that God understood them, but that God was the one who was actively at work to weave him. It says, you wove me in my mother's womb. When I was just a tiny little thing, the inward parts in my mother's womb. And he says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Truly we are. The knowledge of God, that is what is fearful. It's amazing that he cares for us when he knows us so very, very well. Indeed, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And David, he comes to the conclusion, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. What does your soul know? There are some things that our soul is prone to forget: the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. And that is because of our fall into sin, that we are tainted to the very core of our being with sin. But even in our fallen condition, there are some things that have been stamped so deeply, so indelibly upon our soul that we cannot escape it. Even an unregenerate man has certain instincts of conscience that have been placed there until there is that point where sin so continues its work and the conscience barely is heard. But David, as I said, he is speaking as a believer and he is exalting and praising God for all of his goodness. And he says, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. It's good for each and every one of us to say, oh, indeed, this is our God. This is how great he is. And this is how he is to be feared and how he is to be praised. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret within his mother's womb, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. It's almost in X-ray terms that God is able to perceive and see. It was when Samuel came to Jesse's home, that was David's father. Samuel was there in order to anoint a new king as a replacement to King Saul, who had sinned against the Lord. And various brothers of David wasn't even invited to this gathering. He was out tending the sheep. But the older brothers of David are brought in front of Samuel the prophet. And Samuel, he is impressed. He says, oh, look at this one. Surely he would make a fine king. And God speaks into Samuel's heart. Says Samuel, don't look on the outer appearance, for God sees the heart. And so it is with a child that is growing within a mother's womb. And here, David, he says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me. They were all written out. God seeing the end from the beginning. David says, when as yet there was not a single one of them, he had yet to be born, God had mapped out and he had laid out David's life. And David, he could say, you know, this is very unsettling, and I'm not sure that I'm interested in a God of this character and of this kind. The knowledge of God and the memory of God can be a frightening thing. But it depends on what side you are seeing it from. Are you seeing it from the side of the world? If so, you should fear the Lord and you should tremble in your boots. For the Lord will bring every word and every deed into judgment. But if you are seeing it from within the family of God, you have crossed from that broad road that leads to destruction to the narrow road that leads to life and blessing. If you are walking that narrow road, trusting in the Lord, then you do not fear this. And you, along with David, can say, as in verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God's watchful eye. And David finding rest, finding strength, finding blessing, finding comfort in the very character of God. And he's saying, the God who I serve, I delight in. I do not serve out of terror. I do not serve out of fear. But his strong cords of love have drawn me to him. And how precious is the very thought of my God. How vast is the sum of these. Now David, he also has a request of the Lord. Knowing the character of God, he speaks, oh, that you would slay the wicked. He is asking the Lord to take care of this. He's saying, not my arm. There are some scores which need to be settled by God. Vengeance is God's business, and David, he is entrusting himself into God's keeping. David, there had been a lot of dirt that had been done to him. But he's saying, Lord, I am just going to put that into your hands and into your keeping. Lord, I have some thoughts on the matter, and I don't want to have anything to do with those who have turned their back upon you. But Lord, I entrust these things to you. I entrust them to you. And I am lining up my life, my all, with you. And my delight is in you. And so from that starting point of, Lord, you have searched me and you have known me, David now comes to the conclusion, and he's saying, Lord, I have considered your omniscience. I have considered your omnipresence. I have considered your omnipotence. There is no one like you. And Lord, I adore you. And I want to walk with you. I want you to continue to search my heart. I want you to continue to know me. I want you to try and test and examine me. And where there are failures of faith and of conduct, I want you to know my anxious thoughts, and I want you to root out anything that is displeasing in your sight, anything that is hurtful to me or to others, anything that is hurtful, anything that blocks my relationship with you. I would want that to be done away with. And Lord, as we walk on this narrow path that leads to life, I want you to lead me. Take me by the hand and lead me ever forward, I pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for David speaking, singing so clearly that we might sing along, that we might chime in and join with him. Lord, you have also known and searched us. And we would say, Lord, do that again. Do that again. And work within us, in the secret, hidden place of our hearts, in those thoughts, O God. See if there be any anxious or hurtful way in me, and lead me. Lord, hear our prayer and grant our request. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for being with us today for Hearts to Believe. It was just 1 year ago that Margaret Elizabeth Barber, at the age of 99, left this world for that glorious land of never-ending day. Because of COVID restrictions, a memorial service was unable to be done. And so, in honor of her, Jim took her Bible, finding passages where she had highlighted, and used those as material to create 12 sermons. These sermons are now included in this recent publication, which is entitled Mom's Bible. We would like to send a copy to you. It also includes a biographical sketch of Mrs. Barber, as well as a few pictures. Ask for your copy of Mom's Bible when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6, or call us at 1-833-367-3852. This book is sent free and postage paid and is yours simply for the asking. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and unto the day of eternity. Amen.